All right, turn with me to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua 6. I'd like to look at the first 11 verses. It's been 40 years since Joshua and Caleb were first sent into the land of Canaan as spies. Joshua was one of the 12 that went in, but only Joshua and Caleb came back in agreement with God's word and said, yeah, we can take it. God said we can take it, we can take it. But now Joshua has sent a couple of spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the city of Jericho. And remember they providentially crossed the path of Rahab the harlot, one that God was pleased to show mercy, one of the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ, a harlot. And this woman, she believed God, and she knew by faith that the Lord was going to give that city in which she lived, Jericho, God was going to give it to the land of Israel, to the people of Israel. And the scripture was moved, the Spirit of God moved the writer to the Hebrews to even acknowledge what Rahab did. You remember what she did? She hid those spies. She told those guys that was looking for the spies, she had them hid in her house. And these spies came looking for her, won't know where they were. And she said, last I saw them, they were going out the gate. I mean, if you hurry, you can catch them. Somebody said, she lied. God gave them just what they wanted. Because they would not receive the love of the truth, God sent them strong delusion. God keep me from having what my old flesh want. Scripture says, by faith, Hebrews 11:31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab sought peace and mercy. That by the grace of God. God had to give her a heart to do that. She believed God. She believed God's messengers. And she said, when you come into this city, she said, would you show mercy to me and my family? He said, yep. You're going to have to do something. Not for safety, but this is going to be the sign that you believe God. Stay in your house, and you hang this scarlet ribbon in the window. That scarlet ribbon was a token of the mercy of God that had been shown her. It's like that blood that was applied to the doors of the people of Israel in Egypt. Well, now Israel's on Jericho side of Jordan. Jordan River runs north to south. And Promised Land, if you look at a map, Jordan River up and down, north to south, they're on the west side. Jericho's on the west side toward the ocean. And now they're on the Jericho side of Jordan. They've crossed over on dry land, and after Joshua had come face to face with a man, he thought it was a man standing there with a sword drawn. And Joshua asked him, he said, are you for us or for them? And the Lord, who the one that he was talking to, he said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. What he was saying is, I'm God. I'm God. And he said, you take your shoes off. You show some respect. Because where you're standing is holy ground. God was there. I'm telling you just that thought, Gary, right now. I know the Lord's here. I know he's here. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of you. I'm telling you, this is holy ground. Not because of us, because of him. He's here. Where his gospel is preached, this is holy ground. This is precious ground. And I don't want to take it lightly. Well, the scripture says in verse 1 of chapter 6, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now, to understand this spiritually, we got to consider what is actually being pictured by Jericho. Now, here's a city, strong city. And God's going to give it. He's going to give it to his people. He's going to give it to Joshua, the leader. And but it's a fit type. It's a fit type of something, of truly one thing, but it's kind of made up in two different points as far as my message is concerned. Number one, it's a picture of this world. But it's a picture of the world that's found in the people of God. We're born like that. We're worldly people. Straightly shut up. My margin says, concerning that word straightly, was straightly shut up. My margin said, did shut up and was shut up. God's people are born this way. They're shut up to their sin. They can't get out of it, but that's what they want. It was shut up because of their animosity. That's God's people. It was shut up. So it's a picture of this world, but it's a picture of God's elect. Now, I'm telling you, you say Jericho, I can tell you, I can see a picture of God's elect in this thing. Every vessel of God's mercy before that vessel of mercy is made to behold in regenerating grace the one that we just talked about, the one that's everlastingly loved him. That's a vessel of God's mercy. Straightly shut up. Chosen children of promise that are barred, angry against God. Vessels of wrath, children of wrath, even as others. Here's Jericho. Do you think of Jericho as a picture of God's people, God's remnant before conversion? You know what Jericho thought? We're safe. We got some big walls. Our walls are big and they're thick and they're hard. And you can't get in. That's Jericho. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. Jericho thought that their walls would protect them. I've got some safety. But when Almighty God purposes to lay siege to a soul of his choosing, a soul that he's going to call to himself, even when there's no evidence of desire for peace or a truce with God, even when there's no heart to surrender or bow in humble suggestion, a subjection to the sovereignty of the Lord. I'm telling you, when it pleases God, your walls are coming down. Your walls are going to tumble. Now you bet that. We're all born in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. We all think just like the one who was, he came to Eve in the garden and lied to her. And we think just like he suggested. He suggested to her, you can doubt God. You can doubt what God says. God's lying to you. Well, I can tell you this, that's how we're all born. But I'll tell you this too, God's ways. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Yeah, these walls they'll fool you. Walls of Jericho are going to kind of fool the people of Jericho. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let me ask you this. Do you think there's going to be one of God's elect that he's not going to be able to get? Ain't going to happen. The scripture says back in Joshua 6, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, Joshua is a picture of Christ. And listen to what is said. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Doesn't that just make you just want to just shout? I've given Jericho into your hands. I gave you Jericho. These vessels of mercy, the remnant, the elect of God, how did they get to be the Lord's? God the Father gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here the Lord tells Joshua, you see, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, you perceive the city has been given into your hand. Who gave it to him? One who's all powerful. I have given into your hand that everlasting promise from him who is sure and good and right, that which God has appointed according to his counsel. It's going to stand. But I want you to consider something. Though the city was given into the hand of Joshua, we're going to find out here in these verses for the next few minutes that there was something that the people were going to do. Not for the gaining of victory, but because of the victory that was promised. There was something that they were going to have to do to evidence the victory that God had already given. I've given Jericho into your hands. But God's strength is going to be exalted. His power is going to be exalted. God has chosen that. In verses 3 to 5 of Joshua 6, you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now, here's what's going to happen. The city is given into the hand of Joshua. Done deal. Done deal. It's yours. But to show that the strength of the taking of this city is of the Lord and not Joshua, the man, not by man's power, God told Joshua, this is how the battle is going to be won. And everything that God tells him is in opposition to every tried and proven fleshly military tactic. God told Joshua to tell the people, this is what you're going to do. I want you for the first 6 days, I want you to walk around the city one time. And there's going to be 7 priests on those first 6 days, bearing and blowing trumpets of ram's horns. I'm going to say something about those ram's horns in just a minute before the ark. 6 days is what you're going to do. You go out there and you just walk around the city one time. Now, on the 7th day, I want you to compass the city 7 times. And on that 7th trip, the priest are going to blow the trumpets with a long blast, these ram's horns. Everybody's going to have a ram's horn. And I want you to blow those trumpets after the 7th trip on the seventh day. And you blow those ram's horn and you make it with a long blast. And on that day, the people are going to shout with a great shout and the walls are going to come down. So, for the first 6 days, that's what they did. They walked around the city one time and they went back to the camp. Now let me ask you something. Just put yourself in the place of those in Jericho. I don't know how many people were in that group, in the Israelites. Thousands, thousands. And what they're doing is they're walking around the city. And there's the Ark of the Covenant. And there's some priests. And these priests have got some ram's horns. And they're blowing these ram's horns. And they walk around for 6 days one time. And they go back. Now that tactic would probably seem to be as ridiculous as it gets. They're walking around a city. And the people would not shout. You're going to see in just a minute. The people couldn't shout until the last day. But now those trumpets are being blown. Those ram's horns are being blown. But that just wasn't the way that you would naturally think that a stone wall, a fortress. I mean, it had to be big walls. Rahab's house was built on it. I mean, I don't know how thick they were, but it was big enough to put a house on. And so they walk around for 6 days, and those walls did not move. Not one pebble, is it recorded, one pebble fell out. To these people in Jericho, that is the silliest thing that you could possibly do. But let me ask you this, is that not a fit picture of the preaching of the gospel? Now, surely that would appear foolish to the people of Jericho, but the scriptures bears out that that's the attitude of this world concerning the preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians, I'll read this for you. 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. 1 Corinthians 1:26. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now let me tell you what God said. The way that he's going to bring down the walls of opposition, the walls of supposed safety for the vessels of his mercy, he's going to do it through the preaching of the gospel. Don't you think that? No, I don't think anything else. I think this is how he's going to do it. Preaching the gospel seems to the natural mind to be absurd. That's absurd. You're telling me, no, first of all, you're telling me that people are born spiritually dead. Yeah. Okay. And if they're spiritually dead, you're telling me that you preach to them. Yeah. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Lord, you know, prophesy to them and say unto them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You say, that's ridiculous. It's the truth. And this is how God's going to save his people. preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel of God's grace. Telling spiritually dead sinners that when it pleases God, is going to give them a new heart, and he's going to give them new ears, he's going to give them an understanding, and he's going to give them a willingness to come to him. And those that were formerly dead in trespasses and sins, God's going to make them alive. And they're going to hear. He said, that doesn't make sense. That's okay. That's what God said. Romans 1, 15, 16, Paul says, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Preaching Christ is God's way of pulling down the strongholds of man's rebellion. All to the honor, the glory, and the praise of God Almighty himself. No flesh is going to glory. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm on the last part. I'm on this page. That's all I got left. I can't tell you, before the Lord was pleased to reveal Christ to me, how many people I gloried in having led them to Christ. I had notches on my spiritual gun. I can't tell you how many people, man, going out on a Tuesday night, going to go visitation, knocking on doors, making people mad, Kevin. Lead them down the Roman road. Putting them under guilt after you read Scripture. You say, now you don't think God's a liar, do you? Well, no. Nobody ever told me that they thought God was a liar. They all, you know, and to get rid of me, I'm telling you, me trying to finagle you and convince you, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand in this pulpit, and I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to believe God. And you know who God's going to save? Everyone that he's everlastingly loved in Christ. He's going to save them, Mitch. He's going to save them. Back in Joshua 6, verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. See, God had instructed Joshua in those first five verses. He said, this is what I'm going to tell you to do. This is what you're going to do. And Joshua in verse 6, this is what he told the people. He told them exactly what God said concerning the conquest of Jericho. And there was... I'm sure there's no doubt in my mind somebody will say, well, let me ask you this. Have we ever done that before? Has that ever been tried before? Has that ever been proven that that's ever happened? What difference does that make? What difference does it make? Joshua believed God. He was not going to deviate from what the Lord told him. And by the grace of God, we don't either. Since the mid-50s, I told you, God raised up this little assembly. And I know what people say about it. I get it. You know why Almighty God has been pleased to leave this little assembly? Katy Baptist Church, I've told you before, Katy community, nowhere. It's nowhere. But God has raised up a candlestick of hope in this place and kept it. And by the grace of God, if the Lord allows me to preach one more time in this pulpit, by the grace of God, I'm going to preach the same thing. I'm going to preach the same message. I'll take a different passage. It'll be the same message. We don't add 2 Thessalonians 2, while I'm making this comment, 2 Thessalonians 2, we don't add our ways to his revelation. We don't do anything other than we proclaim the gospel that proclaims the goodness and mercy of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ according to God's will, God's purpose, God's calling, God's choosing, not yours, not mine. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, 14, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God told Joshua, this is what I want you to do. Joshua told the people, this is what we're going to do. The ark, that it was a box. It was a box made of what shittim wood is what it's made of, overlaid with gold, and it set forth the very presence of the Lord. God made flesh. And those ram's horns, a picture of the humility and the submissiveness of Christ. It was just a ram's horn. Well, surely they could have gotten made some beautiful golden, you know, inlaid, you know, just precious stone. Surely they could. No, you take a ram's horn, a picture of the humbleness, the humility, the submissiveness of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And those ram's horns, that's what's going to be blown. And when they blew, all those priests, they all had ram's horns, and they made one sound. One sound. That's all they did. What did they blow that horn with a loud blast. We got one message. We put everything that we have, know, into what God said he's going to bless. This is what he's going to bless. And I believe him, and I know there's some people here that do too. We're going to preach Christ. The sound of that horn, I guarantee you, when they heard that horn, all those people in that city, everybody in that city, except one woman and her family, thought this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. You think you're going to do something by out there blowing a horn? It's foolishness. But to that one woman, God has promised, and he's taking this city down, and he's going to spare me. That horn was a sound of life. That was hope to that woman. And when God's people hear the gospel preached, I know what the world thinks. I know the scripture tells me what they think. But to God's people, this one sound of truth, they said, that's my hope. That's the declaration of my Lord has promised to show mercy to me. And he's given me faith to believe him, and I believe him. Let me just read these last few verses and I'll quit. Verse 7. And he said unto the people, pass on. This is what Joshua was telling the people. Encompass the city and let him that is armed pass on before the Lord of the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them, and the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. What they did was exactly what God told them to do. This is what you do. This is what you do. I'm telling you, God's got a people and he's going to save them. He's going to save them. And for that, I'm thankful. And as God gives me strength, and as your pastor, by the grace of God, this is what we're going to do here at Katy Baptist Church. We're going to preach the gospel and preach the gospel and preach the gospel. And we're going to trust God until the Lord takes us home. I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts.